In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Betches Media presents.
Donald Trump was a stain on our country.
I'm someone's daughter, too.
That's what I'm saying!
So help me God. Congratulations, Mr. President.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking.
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Sammy Sage.
I'm Caitlin Burr.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. Happy beautiful hump day.
Happy hump day. You know, we made it.
Another Wednesday. Another Wednesday. But, you know, it really has a sheen on it when the weather's nice. I feel like we're reaching the stage sort of like across the country where there's some good weather and everybody is slowly coming out of their seasonal affective disorder.
Yeah, and getting vaccinated, because as of 12 days from now, everybody in the whole country,
April 19th,
is eligible.
Every adult.
According to Biden.
Yeah, oh my God, that's crazy.
Every adult.
That's, when's your birthday, Sammy? Yours is the 10th.
It is on Saturday.
Yay. Exciting. Only one week out from universal vaccination.
Yeah. It is, you know, this is my second pandemic birthday. So
crazy.
This one is feeling much more positive. I'm not going to lie.
The March birthday, people were robbed.
Oh, yeah. Unless you're like March 3rd and then you really like had the last hurrah last year.
That's true.
But honestly, like, this happened faster than I think, at least I expected. I told you I made a bet about when the first vaccine would be with Aileen and Jordana. I picked the earliest date, and my date was May 15th.
Wow.
That only one of us would be vaccinated.
You are not usually the optimist of a group.
No, I know. Well, I was right, and I won the bet, and I was wrong in the sense that, like, yeah, I was too late. So,
yeah, but I kind of think New York opened it up, because we went from like 50 and up and underlying conditions to 30 and up to 16 and up within like a week. And I think that was because Cuomo, it was only New York and Arkansas who had yet to announce their final date. So I think Cuomo was like, well, fuck, I just got to announce a date. And then Izzy, our intern, is now eligible. And she said it was really tough to get appointments. Like, now it's really, you're waiting until like a month or so.
What do you think we could get Cuomo to give us next? Like,
we got weed.
Yeah.
We got vaccines. What do you think, Caitlin? What's first on your list?
First on my list, it's got to be tax raises on rich people.
We're getting that too.
I know, but it's got to be organized. Then the second thing I want is a structured rent relief program. So people who are really struggling, like, so many people are going to get evicted like next month. That's the deadline for the expiration. So that's what I want, Andrew. If you're going to stay in office despite being a terrible human, then you better give us everything that we ask for. So
I think we should just liquidate his brother's Hampton house and pay for it.
just unearth like one more accuser and you might get rent relief.
They're out there for sure.
I mean, I think we might not just get rent relief. We might just cancel rent and give everybody the back rent.
Everybody who gets evicted gets to move into his house.
It's between like renters and landlords, like, okay, 50-50.
With the profits from Chris Cuomo's house.
Yeah. Do you remember? I only showed this, then we'll get into today's topic, but I only showed Sammy this recently. I wonder if you've seen it, Caitlin, but there's this clip of Mitt Romney and Kyrsten Sinema having like a weird little like chat, because they're just talking about something in Congress about, I think it's about like how much members get paid or senators get paid. And she sort of jokes as Mitt Romney's talking. She's like, well, we could just move all into your house. And then he sort of snickers and then goes, which one? And it's the most unlikable thing that Mitt Romney has ever done. And that's a pretty high bar.
I mean, he feels like a robot programmed by a hedge fund manager. So that's his general persona. That's a joke. So that's very impressive.
The same one that programmed Joe Manchin.
Those are the kind of jokes that, like, you know, only someone who's been programmed by a hedge fund manager.
Yeah, all of his like GOP aides behind him are like, ha, 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 ha. Oh, and Kirsten Sinema was like, okay.
Yeah, it's like, you're so rich. It's so funny.
Kind of gross when you're thinking about the mass homelessness crisis that has exploded in this country. Like, oh, there's so many homes. They're empty.
Take your pick.
Instead of the time.
I know. He's like Mary on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Both of them are just in Utah. Like, where are all my houses? How can one even remember?
I am waiting for the Mary Cosby cult drama to drop. You know, it is. Yeah. I'm waiting. Like, when is that happening?
We definitely have to do some crossovers. I've actually been talking to Sarah a lot about some true crime crossovers. So there might be a lot in our future. Speaking of criminal behavior, we're going to start with a follow-up from yesterday's episode where we spent a lot of time discussing Matt Gaetz. Another big development since then is that, according to the New York Times, Gaetz privately sought a blanket preemptive pardon, not just for himself, but for presumably a number of his congressional allies during the final weeks of Donald Trump's presidency. The Trump White House did not apparently take the request seriously, and it was never granted. So it's unclear if Gaetz knew that he was being investigated at the time for this, but we do know that the investigation into whether he trafficked a minor across state lines did happen during the Trump administration, during his DOJ. So it sort of seems like Gaetz probably thought he had a really smart theory where he could just go to Trump and be like, hey, you know, they're going to come after us for a host of like liberal wish list things. They're going to throw us in jail, the liberal mob. You just got to give us a pardon, probably knowing that maybe he needed a pardon for a certain federal crime. What do we think?
I mean, of course he did this because, you know, that, I mean, remember like on January, this was kind of like the main topic of conversation, like who's asking Trump for a pardon? Who is going to be the next pardon apprentice? Like all that kind of bullshit. Like, and Matt Gaetz, like one thing that maybe I didn't realize about Matt Gaetz that I've kind of learned through this scandal is that he's not particularly well liked by like his Republican colleagues, which, you know, has never really been that much of a problem for Ted Cruz. But it feels like Matt Gaetz is like a little bit like
he causes problems for them. So they actively seem like they're not inclined to do him any favors.
That plus he doesn't like have this certain like gravitas that makes them like want to protect him almost. And because his district is so safe, they feel like, oh, we could just replace him with like someone who's not like a complete like captain idiot. Like,
yeah, he's not like Marjorie Taylor Greene shutting everything down. He's just doing nonsense and now crimes.
I mean, there's just a lot of grandstanding inside the Republican caucus, especially the Republican House caucus. I think there might be like four people left in that caucus who believe in actual governance. Like as in like, oh, we need to get things done for our constituents or else we'll get voted out. There's only about, I don't know if there, I mean, you could argue that the people who voted for impeachment are the last ones. But even if you check their records, you're like, oh, still not good. You're not good.
It's like they had one good vote.
Gaetz in many ways is like representative of, I mean, I would put him as the median House member at this point, which is terrifying and awful from the House Republican caucus. Like the House Republican caucus, he's like a median, maybe a little bit worse than average, but that's terrifying because like, I mean, big picture, small picture, like, I mean, there's just so much absurdity in this and it's just terrible and everything. But big picture, I mean, the Republican Party is now the party of child trafficking and rape. Like that's who they are. They're not, oh man, he's annoying and we don't like working with him.
Like that. This and that's where like, the Ted Cruz reaction.
Immediately push this person out of your caucus. You destroy their ability to fundraise. You cut them off completely. If there's the Trump DOJ started investigating him, the Trump.
Yeah.
There's no way the Biden DOJ run by Merrick Garland is going to be like, we didn't find anything, you guys. It's fine.
Right. Do you think that he will I doubt he'll ever resign, but do you think that he'll be pushed out or like forced to resign? Do you think that is like a possibility?
Well, wasn't he like looking into quitting and not running again to like go work at Newsmax? He already had like, he does not care. He doesn't genuinely want to be a member of Congress. This is like his dad set him up with it. And this is the best like gig he can get right
his
now.
Dad
like
set him up with an internship.
Right, exactly. But also today, he's currently under investigation for sex trafficking, and he's going to speak at the conservative pro-Trump group Women for America, which I just think is really interesting, given that Trump and QAnon convinced a lot of women, even more women than before, to vote for them based largely on false claims of widespread child sex trafficking from like Wayfair and all this bullshit. And now we have a man who is credibly accused of trafficking a minor, and they have selected him to speak at their event.
Because every Republican messaging point is projection at this point.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not only projection, it's like, it's beyond hypocrisy at this point, and it's kind of terrifying. I mean, they did the same thing when Trump was running in 2016. I just like sit around just like holding a bunch of receipts. Like I'm almost like a small business owner.
Oh, I know. Yeah, my favorite thing is to look at your Twitter and see what you've retweeted from 2 years ago.
2016, there's a whole thing about like Hillary Clinton accommodated the sexual abuse of people. And then you're like, no, that's not how that works. Her husband's trash, and we all kind of know that, but he's also a former president of the United States, so we kind of all bought in on that one too late. Like, we all already paid out our sin on this one.
Right.
But you actually did the thing to women. Like, you're making it like, oh, she accommodated, that's so much worse. And you're like, well, then raping people? And actually violating people's boundaries, being married to somebody who's a piece of shit. If that's the layer, then I'm afraid that many, many women are going to be eliminated from public office on the strength of their husbands. But this is the same thing. QAnon has the same energy. It's like, it's not really about the damage. It was never about the damage. It's about what you can accuse your opponents of doing.
It's true. I mean, this Joel Greenberg guy who Matt Gaetz hangs out with seems just like the scummiest of the scummy. Like, there was an anecdote in the New York Times reporting about something with like fake IDs or like, you know, IDs for potentially for underage people. And it's just like, this is, you know why they invented Pizzagate. You know why the basis for QAnon was like this, like elite pedophile sex trafficking ring, and like clearly they got the idea from themselves.
Right, we're always like, it's so incomprehensible, how could you even believe that would be happening? And then we find out like it is. But what I want to know is like, okay, so Matt Gaetz was apparently dating an 18-year-old Capitol Hill intern who presumably was working for a Republican GO. I want to know, like, that's somebody's daughter. Where is the, like, that's somebody's daughter energy from them now? That, like, fake-ass excuse that I generally don't like because all women are human. But, like, come on, we're seeing it from nowhere. I guess because I haven't seen any rank-and-file Republicans stand up for Matt Gaetz. Have you? They don't care at all.
No, but I haven't seen any of them attack him either. And that, to me, is more disturbing.
Not even Liz Cheney.
I'll just toss this out there. Let's go into our Wayback Machine. Anthony Weiner. What happened when Democratic leadership had to jump really quickly? Same thing with Al Franken. These are significantly less, I mean, they're very damaging, and they were appropriately removed from office, because Democrats don't support them. And it's the same thing with Cuomo. Elected Democrats are only basically staying on board in New York because they don't have enough right now, enough leverage to force Cuomo out. He basically is going to stay until there's too much for him to remain. Mm-hmm. And even then, you get Kathy Hochul. You're looking at people just basically saying, like, Democrats immediately, like, the actual damage matters to us, and we don't want this to happen. And Republicans are like, that guy's a dick. And I'm like, that's not the problem. There's a systemic problem here. You should never be doing this ever.
Any other workplace, he would be out.
Like, the basic workplace etiquette or like appropriateness is just like not even.
Does Congress like, even have HR?
No.
There's like, is there anyone there that deals with kind of this kind of stuff?
Can
like,
you
presumably,
bring a sexual harassment case. Like, I feel like you could. It's a workplace.
Right.
It's not, though. It's the only place, I would say, in the country where those rules just can't apply because the nature of electing people is really comes down. And this is what Trump exposed, and this is what we all kind of have to grapple with, which is that there's no floor for what people need to be qualified for in order to get elected. Like, you can just grift the fuck out of people and yeah. lie and cheat and steal. You can destroy people's lives. You can rape and abuse people. And yeah. And there's nothing that prevents you from getting elected. There's nothing there. So that's really disturbing. And Republicans have just walked right through that donut hole. Like, oh, guess there's a loophole here, and it's very large. And since there's no minimum requirement, we're going to have QAnon lady who thinks of Jewish space lasers. And we're going to have this guy who literally traffics children to save them. And we're going to have this guy who is a carnival barker who failed to get a casino to turn a casino.
Yeah. It also is not like, okay, the reason that you hold people accountable for bad behavior is to like prevent people from doing it again. We were saying yesterday that like Elliot Spitzer, we've discussed, is not on the same plane as an Andrew Weiner and even an Al Franken. But like we were saying yesterday that some of the reasons people are looking back on Al Franken is because he was like a kind of good, positive figure at the time. Elliot Spitzer was a really positive figure at the time. Anthony Weiner, I mean, I don't know. I guess he was okay. Love Huma, love Hillary. Like, we're fine with all of that thing. But this is literally the worst members of GOP members. So it's like, if you're a really effective member, what is keeping you from like, oh, they're not even going to toss dumbass Matt Gaetz out for doing this. They're certainly not going to, I'm not going to face any repercussions. And I actually get shit done. Like, if, I don't know, who isn't a fan? Mitch McConnell, but I can't imagine him having a sex scandal.
Oh God!
Imagine. Why would you put that into the world? Why would you do that?
You know, you never know.
That is abuse. I'm calling HR, Sammy.
But you know, if it was like Adam Kinzinger, forget it. Within 5 minutes, they would be calling for his head.
That's
true. One Republican who is speaking out against some of them.
Right. It's like you can't have standards because then you're held to your own standards.
That is exactly how Republicans have operated now for the last like 30 years. More. Yeah. If you think about it, like Newt Gingrich was literally in the middle of having an affair with his soon to be third wife while cheating on his cancer having second wife. So that way he could while he was running impeachment proceedings against Bill Clinton for getting his dick sucked. Like you're just like, okay, now Bill was a piece of shit. And if he'd been held to like a standard that Democrats had, we would all be like, well, you got to go. But the problem is that the alternative was like, oh, yeah, it's very bad to abuse your interns. Meanwhile, their interns are literally trapped in a closet, forced to do sex acts. Like, you're just like, I feel like something's off here. I feel like, and then they just kept exposing all of these Republican members of Congress during the Clinton impeachment who were having affairs with their staffers. And I was like, this is why your impeachment failed.
Yeah.
You guys are just giant hypocrites. And this has been the same way. They just stop having standards. And the only people who have standards are Democrats who now have to maintain the entire norms of government. Themselves, which means that any Democrat does anything bad, like major bit someone. So now we don't care about animals. Now, if you really cared, you would euthanize that dog. We're like,
right. I know. I'm having to see like op-eds about please don't project this onto all shelter dogs. And it's like, I don't see anything from Republicans. Like, we're really not all this bad. No, they don't give a shit. They have no image to tarnish.
To think about the amount of like poverty in this country, hunger, illness, just people who lack homelessness, and the fact that Major Biden is like has been a headline a lot of times is like deeply offensive to me. Yeah. Like, are you kidding me?
I mean, it's one of, like, the only things that gets traffic. Like, the first time he, like, bit somebody, I was like, if he has to leave the White House, the stuff has to shut down. We don't have anything left.
I literally, don't click on those articles, but, like, you might as well tell me that, like, a toilet's clogged in the White House. Like, it is a standard issue. He didn't kill a person. Like, he didn't even really hurt someone. Whatever. Yeah. I'm not going to defend the
dog. I think I slandered Major on the podcast yesterday because I was talking about how I also play the rescue card, even though my dog, like, I got him when he was 8 weeks old. It's all my fault. So Joe Biden officially adopted Major when he was about 10 months old, which is, of course, plenty of time for a dog to develop bad habits that you have to undo. So I think that Major's rescue status definitely contributes to some of his insecurity, as do I think my dog's infant trauma contributes to some of his. So speaking of hypocrisy and just a complete vacuum of values whatsoever, the fallout from Georgia's voter restriction law is getting more and more interesting, I guess. It's leaving Georgia. It's coming to Washington. As Brian said on Monday, you know you're that bitch when you cause all this conversation. Let me take you back to 2010. The Supreme Court has ruled in favor of allowing corporations to have First Amendment rights via the Citizens United decision. Senator Mitch McConnell he's thrilled. He says at the time in 2010, for too long, some in this country have been deprived of full participation in the political process. Now, on Monday, the Senate minority leader had changed his tune 11 years later, following a number of companies reducing or otherwise withdrawing business from Georgia in reaction to boycotts. Let's listen.
So my warning, if you will, to corporate America is to stay out of politics. It's not what you're designed for. I'm not talking about political contributions. Most of them contribute to both sides. They have political action committees. That's fine. It's legal. It's appropriate. I support that. I'm talking about taking a position on a highly incendiary issue like this and punishing a community or a state because you don't like a particular law they passed. I just think it's stupid.
It's stupid.
Here's the thing, like, Mitch, what are you going to do if you don't like what they do? Are you going to raise corporate taxes?
I am this close to eating my own fist. I was so mad.
I know. As I was watching you guys, I'm really glad we're recording this video because it made me really happy. It was like 17 different reaction gifts from both of you.
Because there's so many comments within his comment. It's like, okay, stay out of politics. But you're the one who's like, give us all your money. And then you're like, corporations can use money as speech. So how is that staying out of politics?
Speech is not speech. Money is speech. Give us your money and then shut the fuck up is basically where he's at. Where it's kind of like darkly hilarious where you're like, this speech that just endlessly builds up Republicans is good. But actually suggesting that certain laws are not good, that's too far.
Yeah, it's also crazy because I've always wondered, like, what is Mitch McConnell actually passionate about? Like, what does he actually care about? This is his passion. He has been advocating on behalf of companies having First Amendment rights. That's like his pet issue. That is his passion. He loves it. He has argued for them to basically be citizens. And now he's saying, like, oh, it's too incendiary. You know that he has no real, like, intellectual argument because he ends this by saying, I don't know, it's just stupid. Like, that's how I end arguments when I have no point. I'm just like, you're stupid. It's stupid.
It's like he's really passionate about corporations having rights or having speech and opinions until they disagree with him. But what's going unsaid here is that, like, the real trade with corporations having the ability to weigh in via money, the trade-off is that they're doing that so that they can get tax cuts. That's what's not being said here is that, like, they're allowed to give money to the politicians because then the politicians will cut their taxes, but they're not allowed to express their opinions or, like, respond to their consumers' concerns because if they do, like, then the whole kind of game gets, like, a little bit blown up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. At least that's what Mitch seems to be, like, indicating.
It's even deeper because a lot of these companies, I mean, they don't just, you're not just lobbying for cutting taxes. It's even further. It's regulatory environment. It's permission to act as they want. It's the lack of oversight. It is, there's like multiple levels of abuse that have been built in for the sake of corporate America. And when they say, actually, if we're citizens, then we actually think that people should be able to vote. And this is also, you know, as much as they say corporations are people, the actual people who work at these organizations, that work in these companies, are going to be affected by laws like this.
Yeah.
That's why they feel compelled. The other thing is that once you start saying, a lot of these companies had said shit last year about George Floyd, got involved in the protests, started saying that they were going to give money, that they were going to get better, seeing that there was a lot of outrage and that a disproportionate amount of it was coming from people who had a massive stake in their system and that they wanted the good PR, and decided that it was better off to side with like Black people. And then you had Black executives send that letter. So you had a huge response from corporate America. There's more like in the weed stuff about like, now they're all being, well, a bunch of shareholders are asking them to do racial audits and actually ask how they're contributing to the well-being of all the people that they just said that they really wanted to help a bunch. And they're under that pressure on their internal corporate money side. So yeah. Mitch McConnell saying like, oh, you don't need to get involved in politics. Like, they're under a tremendous amount of internal pressure to actually, yeah, get involved in politics and not merely say, oh, well, if you spend all this time and energy asking for deregulation and doing revolving door shit where people from inside the company go to work for the government and then flip back around and work for the company again. If this is what your lives are, this is where we make our money, then yeah, you're going to have to say something about this Georgia voting law, because it seems pretty Jim Crow to us. And that's not something we want to be associated with as a company.
Yeah, I think what's like, this is such a this is probably a pretty esoteric news item overall. Like, I don't think that this is like making huge waves, but this one particular news item, what it, I think it sort of like represents like the system sort of collapsing on itself, like, because you have all these contradictions and it like almost, it really does sort of like it's the coming together of all the issues with like corporate money and like the sort of like enmeshment of corporations and politicians that is all coming to a head with Mitch McConnell's like statement about the Georgia law.
Yeah, none of this, the normal alliances and sides you expect are shaping up, which exposes only the truth of the matter, which is that this law is racist and it's suppression and it's Jim Crow again. Like, when you have, it's like you can sense Mitch's frustration, because he's realizing it's like when it's stripped from all of the normal just sort of dark alliances and agreements people have made with each other that before last June were sort of silently agreed upon, and all were really, corporations are finally actually looking at the legislation and what their consumers are saying is a problem, and like you can't, it's clear as day, it's right there.
It used to be more of like a, it used to feel probably like in like the 90s and the early 2000s, it's like politicians and business were like in a partnership. And now, because like half the government is like, I don't know what to describe it, but it is like not, it is not a democracy anymore. It can't work, especially because the party that is now like the fascist party is the one that was like especially interested in being tied to corporations. But like the corporations, they have people working at them who are just Americans, and it just, it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah. All of the things that Republicans have been using for decades to give themselves an edge are finally, hopefully with HR1 or something like that, can be addressed. And then now corporations, which have buoyed them for a long time. I mean, I don't think they're ever going to get out of politics, but it's funny because then later Mitch tried to clarify. He was like, I didn't mean corporations, I just meant CEOs. But then you look at the CEOs and he has taken more donations from CEOs than anybody. And so this battle over Georgia's law has sort of, it's gotten even bigger and a lot more companies are in the mix. We talked about Coca-Cola, and Delta Airlines have just sort of vaguely condemned it. But also in Texas, American Airlines criticized a bill there that would prohibit extended voting hours and outlaw drive-through voting access. I mean, I remember when Republicans were really fighting for that airline bailout, and I guess they're not happy about it now.
They needed to bail out the airlines. Like, I get that.
Yeah.
But it all looks so bad because of all their other actions.
Yeah. Right.
There's just so many issues that are, that I mean, it is in a way that chicken's coming home to roost thing. But it's also the fact that, you know, the Republican Party has paid no price for their slide into extremism. I mean, None. This is extreme. It's really important to categorize this as, like, this is not normal or healthy behavior. Trying to limit your voting base in order to maintain power is deeply unhealthy. This should come with very serious penalties. None of these people should hold office in government ever again. This is a massive abuse of power. The kinds of damage that is being done right now is catastrophic. It's extreme. It's alarming. We had an armed insurrection 3 months ago. Like, literally, like, I think if you measure the weeks, we are in the Wednesday that's like 12 weeks out.
Yeah, we're in the attack on the Capitol last week.
The 7th.
I mean, and then there was another person, like, again. And we don't know when we'll be able to have, like, joint sessions of Congress, which are supposed to be things that happen every year. You know, the State of the Union, we don't know.
Oh my God,
is that
it's
why
April.
There hasn't been a State of the Union?
Yeah, I mean, there hasn't been a State of the Union.
Yeah,
is that why?
Well, okay. I mean,
and because the gathering,
State of the Union in election right. years, yeah. the year of inauguration, there's just a joint session,
right?
But because of COVID and other things, but, like, we literally can't have them all there. It's literally impossible now because it's not safe. And the fact that the Republican Party just walked away scot-free from that, like, they paid zero political price for inciting an insurrection and then covering it up by forcing Democrats to speed up the impeachment process and deny all sorts of witnesses. Like, there was a whole bunch of stuff that was just like, oh, we're not going to let you pass bills like COVID relief if you don't end this trial. And they basically blackmailed everybody into doing this. They covered it up. They came up with all sorts of arguments. They are in the middle of overthrowing American democracy. And this obviously requires American companies to have to make a choice. They would prefer not to be involved in any of this. To be completely honest, if you were to go talk to them, they'd be like, wow, this would be really great for me to not have to think about this ever again. But when you've made one side literal fascists trying to overthrow the government and the other side like everyone else, yeah, of course, like, companies are going to be like, I don't want to be aligned with, like, literal fascists who shoot people. I literally don't want that kind of blowback. The damage will be extreme. Let me go with everyone else.
Also, fascism historically not great for business, I think. So
historically
also
that. Not great.
Yeah.
Fascism, like, is actually pretty solid for business. It's usually like a big business plus a big fascist-y government melding.
But once the government, like, collapses, doesn't that kind of screw everything?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of forced buying that people are made to do in order to support the businesses, like Hugo Boss.
I don't want to find out.
Wait, Hugo Boss? Okay, we'll talk about that a different time.
Oh, yeah. Hugo Boss has real Nazi context.
Wait, okay. I need to Google that after this. Okay. Just
We don't want to know.
No, I do.
Well, I mean, so it's worth saying Coca-Cola, Delta, Lyft, Betches Up. Betches has been covering this long before last June. And if you are looking for a brand safe on it partner, we have fucking been here. So...
Delta.
Come on. Yeah.
I love my Diet Coke, especially from the fountain machine.
Love a fountain Diet Coke. And before we move on to our final topic, I thought this was an interesting follow-up to yesterday where we did talk about the potential tax hike to pay for the infrastructure bill. Lyft also came out against the Georgia bill, and they just really decided to come out against a number of Mitch's favorite things. They also said that they're fine with the corporate tax increase that would be paying for the infrastructure bill, which is cool that they said that. But then if you think about it for like 2 seconds, it's like, yeah, you use the roads to make your money. You should pay to fix them.
Right.
What a nice man.
Are they going to agree to have their drivers classified as employees, though? Probably not.
Yeah. Not Can unless they're forced. Your driver get in an ambulance without having to rack up thousands of dollars of debt if they get in a crash. We'll look forward to that announcement as well.
Yeah. You know, that's the interesting thing with like the corporations are people thing. Like corporations aren't people. Like yeah. even if like a CEO, they're just a steward for the company. Like the opinion, like a corporation cannot have an opinion. A corporation can only have like metrics for how well it did. Mm-hmm. Like, and can it pay its employees and can it pay its taxes? Like, there's no, corporations cannot have an opinion. So it's just sort of ridiculous that like, whatever, this is a separate.
No, rant. Yeah. I mean, as you're talking about that, I'm just trying to think of like what it would look like for like Uelian and Jordan to be like, okay, so what should we all say about this one thing? It's like, we're all unique human beings. Like, what do you,
and all the people who work in the company.
All of the people that work here. Yeah, you can't totally.
Yeah.
Like there are 130,000 Apple employees. I got to tell you, the idea that there's a giant hive mind, it's right. not real. That's also true for your appointment at the Genius Bar. If you ask one employee, they don't know.
Good tip. Yeah. Don't just wander in there. So for our last topic today, we are going to talk about the anti-trans legislation in Arkansas. So on Monday evening, the Republican governor of Arkansas, Asa Hutchinson, vetoed the General Assembly's anti-trans bill, which we've discussed before, which would basically prohibit any gender-affirming care for trans minors. And that would include things that are reversible, which just is to suggest that like you're not keeping kids from permanently changing anything, but that's up to them and their parents anyway. The bill is actually called the SAFE Act, which stands for Save Adolescents from Experimentation, which is just really icky. So Hutchinson is no friend to the LGBTQ community, to be sure, but he noted that the bill would be and is a vast government overreach because it creates, quote, new standards of legislative interference with physicians and parents as they deal with some of the most complex and sensitive matters. The reason I wanted to read that as a quote is because Regina George clips, so you agree, our bodies are none of your business.
Yeah.
And then less than a day later, the General Assembly voted to override the governor's veto, making their state the first in the country to outlaw this type of care. Why do we think Hutchinson did this? Of course, my first question was like, were they all in on it? Did he do this to seem like some sort of hero to trans kids because he knew the legislation would go anyway? Do we think that Republicans can be moved on issues of kids' humanity?
No, they will never be moved on kids and trans rights. Like that is something that they don't even think that like gay people should get married. Like they're not moving on the two gender thing.
If you pulled Republicans on interracial marriage and isolated them from the rest of the country, I bet you'd get a pretty nasty number for that one too. We are literally like a century behind on human rights at this point.
Mitch McConnell would probably say he's against interracial marriage.
We're negotiating the Geneva Conventions with them. Like this is that was 1920. Like, yeah.
Right. This is literally like talking about it's because they gave the name something, this really icky name that actually really matches what they're doing, which is like get kids' bodies and genitals out of your head. What are you doing? Right. Leave them alone.
Right. I mean, when he vetoed it, I was like, oh, that's great. Like I'm not like that familiar with like Arkansas, like the state politics.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, that's great. And then I saw a comment somewhere from someone on Twitter that was like, oh, he just did it because he knew that they would override it. And I was like, oh, duh. I can't believe I like thought for 1 second he might not
for
be
a
total
second,
ghoul.
I thought maybe he was like, you know what? Maybe I can move this assembly since I'm such an anti-gay jackass. If they see even me being like, this is bad for us, maybe they'll see that it's bad for the party. But like, no. And I was
last
talking
time
to like
give a Republican the benefit of the doubt.
Right. And I was talking to Elise about this, but it's like this is the Arkansas State Assembly. I'm not trying to be a dick about like the South or anything, but like state level legislatures, like most of them do a really good job, but it's like you end up some of them don't, and they're just elected through like weird gerrymandering or because like literally 10 people live there, and then these are the people that make the laws that end up going all the way to the Supreme Court where we're all talking about our rights because like the only dentist within 200 miles got elected to like some state assembly somewhere.
And like local reporting has completely died, like just completely.
Oh yeah,
there's been such. And it's really, really damaging because people don't have awareness around who their representatives are at the state level for the most part. I mean, I know who my state level representatives are, but then like I'm a weirdo. Like that's the thing. Like I know I'm an aberration. That's like, and it's hard. It's hard to keep up with what they are doing because national politics takes up so much energy, but also because there's very few people actually trailing around behind state elected representatives to hold them accountable. There's almost no accountability at the state level. In this way, I mean, Arkansas, I'm really worried about the people who, like, this is their home. This is where they grow up. This is, you know, the message that we send to people who are just trying to find ways to live as who they are and denying them that. And the damage that this is going to do is outrageous. And we know
this is right. It's real. Important. Imagine telling your kid who was like looking forward to, they're about to like expect puberty in the manner that the gender they were assigned at birth, and they were looking forward to maybe having a way to postpone or avoid that. And imagine being that mother having to say the state says you can't. They don't. They say you can't do this because you're different and you're wrong and you can't. It's real. Like these are real kids that are going to be permanently damaged from this.
This is state yeah. bigotry.
It goes in like it goes in that category with like conversion therapy. Absolutely. And like all those like really like abusive ways of, you know, sort of like manipulating kids' sexuality, which traumatizes them for life. So good job, Arkansas.
Yeah, it obviously just highlights how much we need these things on like a federal level. But the other thing I was listening to some podcasts recently, Caitlin, and they were saying like not only you can also actually sway people on a local level, like easier, like the national conversation about opening schools is like really tense because it's like two sides, like the never masker peoples and the people, the parents that are fine with masks and mitigation. But when you're talking about opening our school, it's everybody's kids go to the same school. They genuinely want the best outcome and they're not like stuck in their partisan ways about it. They're just like, whatever we can do. And if that's why not having those conversations and having that coverage locally means that everything that gets amplified to the national and like strung out in these weird divisions that like are very new, it's not normal. Like you said, it's like we are sliding into extremism. That's what's happening, like unchecked, because these normal checks have just completely gone away without any investment.
It really sucks. I hate extremism.
I hate extremism. I mean, all the more reason to like, I'll think that the news is slowing down. Then I'm like, no, the only thing that's missing is just Trump's not there. But actually, like something terrible happens every day. It's at the same yeah. cadence. And we will be here every day.
Yeah. And like, that's the biggest issue is like, there were a lot of people who got into recognizing how bad Republicans were only because they were supporting Trump. And they thought that them supporting Trump was the problem. The problem is that like Trump was able to gather energy from the Republican Party. He was able to capture a tremendous part of their base, such a huge part that they can no longer get elected without people who are pro-Trump, without people yep. who agree with the way he runs the country, without people who think that trans people, like that policing trans people's identities is the actual job of the government. Like we are in the middle of a crisis. There's a health crisis. There's a housing crisis. We're in an economic crisis. There are literally thousands of public policy crises all happening at the same time. But you really want to make sure that that 12-year-old trans girl can't get gender affirming puberty blockers. Like that's the thing that we gotta. That's the problem. And it's really just like drilling down and it's literally breaking apart lives right now. It's going to come back in really bad ways. And we like recognizing that it's still going on. Like Republicans are the problem.
Yeah. It's just crazy that a lot of there are a lot of origins of trans panic, but one of them is the idea that men will dress as women to assault little children. So I just find it interesting that that's one of the origins of trans panic. And we have a member of Congress from Florida who's just, everyone's just like waiting to see what happens because he messed around with kids. Just wait and see.
The party of child abuse.
The party of child abuse.
They're obsessed with children, though. They're obsessed with children in general. The kids in sports thing is like so weird. And like, it's such a random, weird fixation. Like the sports.
It is a weird fixation. Yeah.
They're obsessed with kids.
Keep Republicans away from your children.
Keep Republicans away from your children. Chase Strangio, who runs this on the ACLU, is like, we're suing right away. We're on it. So keep your kids away from Republicans and come back tomorrow. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Sammy Sage.
I'm Caitlin Bird.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast.
The Betches Up Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow at Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails to suppod@betches.com. Betches.